What I hear around the globe is, you're not a reliable partner in America. What happens if Trump gets back into office in a couple years? What happens if Biden loses? We can't rely on you. I want you to know you can rely on California.
Governor Gavin Newsom speaking at Hong Kong University yesterday. He's now in mainland China. His office says he's visiting China for a few reasons, including to, quote, advance climate action between California and China. He'll sign climate compacts with regional governments, tour manufacturing sites, even Tesla's Shanghai plant. Newsom has set forth some ambitious climate goals for the state, banning the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035 and achieving carbon neutrality by 2045. And he's hoping China, the world's biggest greenhouse gas producer, will continue to be a receptive ear on the need to address global warming. Both governments could learn a thing or two from the other when it comes to achieving a carbon-neutral future, says Alex Wong, co-director of the Emmett Institute on Climate Change and the Environment and a professor of law at UCLA. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. So setting aside the possible political motivations of Newsom's trip, that he might be trying to enhance his profile for a future presidential run in 2028, Newsom isn't the first California governor or official to make this kind of trip to China. So can you describe what the relationship is like between our state and China on climate?
Absolutely. So Newsom's our third governor to be heading over to China. He's there to talk about climate change, which has been something that our past governors have promoted. Most recently and notably, Governor Brown went to China during the Trump administration and actually met with Xi Jinping, which is highly unusual for a head of state to meet with a subnational leader. But at the time, I think there was a signal there that China was trying to send to Trump, that's suggesting that China was still all in on climate as Trump moved away. But California was there also to show that America was still moving forward at the subnational level. So I think the quote you started with from Newsom is absolutely right. The world is wondering if we have different people in office in the president's office, whether the U.S. will stay the course. But California is such an important part of the sort of constant push for climate action.
And so what is Newsom doing there? I mean, we talked about signing some accords with regional Chinese governments, but, you know, practically speaking, what's the end goal here for this trip?
Yeah, he's going to five different places. And so what they've announced is, for example, at the beginning of the week, they're going to the city of Shenzhen, which a few years ago moved to a 100% electric bus fleet. And so they're going to look at how they finance that, how they operate it, and look to see how they can learn from the details of that. They're also visiting a site of offshore wind. So China is by far the biggest implementer of offshore wind. California has some near-term goals to implement offshore wind, and China is, in terms of deploying that, just well ahead. So I think there's something to learn there. But there are other agreements that are going to be signed where China will be seeking advice from California. They're in Beijing, they'll sign some agreements on clean energy transition. They'll be talking about adaptation and nature-based solutions, these sorts of things. And in these regards, California has a lot to teach China as well.
So the U.S. and China have had this increasingly tense relationship, though, over the past couple of years, you know, over human rights and various geopolitical conflicts. This is also something President Biden has to grapple with as he works with China on this issue. So how much realistically could a governor of one state achieve on his own?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is an incredibly complex relationship, and it's only gotten more fraught over the years, as we all know. In some ways, I think a subnational leader going over there is a little bit less politically fraught. There's a way that a governor can go over and focus on a narrower set of issues, as Newsom is doing. And they've, I think, wisely selected a set of issues where there's already been, you know, many decades of collaboration on environment and climate. And they're looking for the areas where there's productive collaboration, even in the climate area, which is traditionally one that's less fraught. There these days, it's also has a lot of political hotspots, like trade issues, critical minerals, supply chain security issues. And so I think on this trip, they're staying away from those kinds of issues and looking for the areas where, in the climate area, there's an incredible amount to be done and a lot of areas where you can collaborate and not sort of step into the really tensest areas.
So China, as we mentioned before, remains the biggest greenhouse gas emitter in the world. But,
yeah, absolutely.
But what is it doing right when it comes to climate? I mean, you mentioned offshore wind, but what else are some of the advances it's making, and how has it surpassed the United States in some ways on this issue?
I think the biggest area that many Americans might not be aware of is just simply sort of getting things built and deployed. So what I mean, two particular areas that China's made a lot of progress, especially in the last decade, are building clean energy and getting electric vehicles on the road. These are both important goals in California. And in California, we recognize that for the next few decades, we're going to have to implement at unprecedented levels. And so China in the last 10 or 15 years has already been doing that. So on their clean energy, in clean energy in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, just the clean energy portion of their electricity system was double all of Germany's electricity. And now, 10 years later, it's six times that.
Wow.
And so that's a lot of clean energy. It's in the context of just massive total energy demand. And so China's also been increasing coal and fossil fuels. And so it's not a completely rosy picture over
sure.
there. But if you focus on the need to deploy, they've gotten a lot of that in the ground. But even in that aspect, they have things to learn from California. When you talk to Chinese experts, they'll acknowledge that they've done a good job of building solar and wind, but not all of it is used effectively. Sometimes it gets wasted. Sometimes it's not connected to the grid. And this is an area that California has some things to teach China about as well.
But China is an authoritarian state where, they can deploy these big projects on a scale that is a lot harder in the United States. I mean, we have officials who are accountable to voters who might vote them out. Certainly, we've seen a number of environmental things hung up in lawsuits that can be filed that can muddy the water. So from that picture, in terms of deploying these sort of big picture projects, the kind of infrastructure that the country might need, but is a lot harder to make happen in practice here. I mean, is China realistically a model that the United States can follow there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's sort of the crux of the issue, right? I think a lot of people are wondering about that. I think part of the story in China is not just the authoritarian system. It's a story of sustained support, subsidies and support and policy support. And China was not doing this purely for altruistic or environmental reasons. They saw it as energy security, economic opportunities and things like that. And you're right to point out, California, I've just come back from an environmental conference where we were talking about how to balance stakeholder interests in things like offshore wind and all of the deployment of clean energy. And it's incredibly complex in California. And Californian values require us to consider all of these things carefully. But the great tension right now for American climate policy is how to move quickly to build things. Can we be green and build things quickly and also live up to our values of participation, democracy, transparency, and those sorts of things? Newsom has taken some steps to try to move in that direction, not without controversy, right? He's supported laws to limit the length of lawsuits on environmental impact assessment and to speed up permitting on clean infrastructure. And those things, I think a lot of people admit, are necessary, but it does run us into tensions. Are there impacts on endangered species, on habitats, these sorts of things? But I think even the supporters of the strongest protections on species and habitats would admit that we also need to move quickly on clean energy, because without moving on clean energy, it's not as though nothing else happens, right? We're in the middle of a sort of ticking time bomb on climate change emissions.
All right. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That's Alex Wong. He's co-director of the Emmett Institute on Climate Change and the Environment and a professor of law at UCLA. Coming up, more than 40 states and D.C. have sued Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram. They say the company's platforms are harmful to kids. Could a big legal fight rein in big tech in a way that Congress so far hasn't? That's next on Press Play.